Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, we skipped a very, beg your pardon, I skipped a very important part of our conversation, which was supposed to have eased us into the idea and the concept of communicable diseases, because after these past 2 days, a lot of questions came up, which I really believe would have been answered by having the set of questions we're going to be having today. And I skipped that. I should have done that on Monday. So I've spoken to the good doctor to allow me to deal with that today. And the doctor has agreed, and he is joining us on the line. Our doctor is Dr. Gerard Thomas. He is our guest for this conversation. He's given us some perspective. And by the way, I was playing you something from Keelante Gavin and Enrique Holmes with You're Gonna See It. That's some music you were listening to after the good news. Now let's talk to our good doctor. Dr. Thomas, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Ayo. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me again on your show.
Thank you very much, doctor. And thank you very much once again for allowing me to take you back and deal with these introductory questions so people can be able to grasp a few things that we've been talking about from the questions that we are going to be asking. So I do apologize for skipping. This is a very important conversation to have. Let's start by first defining and distinguishing. Let's define a communicable disease and distinguish it from a non-communicable disease. Go ahead.
Right. So a communicable diseases, they are illnesses which are caused by infectious agents that are that we are familiar with, such as bacteria, viruses. Just give me 1 second. My phone is... so it's bacteria, viruses, fungi, parasites. So these are the things that we would normally, they spread from person to person.
Right. Go ahead.
Just give me 1 second. 1 second.
Not a problem.
So it spreads from person to person, and it is obviously, you can also pick up these viruses. You can also pick up these viruses from environmental places where you go and you touch, etc. So it could be exposure to the various viruses or pathogens, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
We're familiar with it as pathogens.
Right. So when we are talking about these communicable and non-communicable diseases, in particular today and this week, we're talking about communicable diseases. What are the most common methods of disease transmission? You're saying you could touch and you go and be exposed. Just talk to us about the means by which one can be exposed and how these diseases are transmitted.
So the non-communicable diseases are those which are not transferable from one person to another, or from one organism to another.
Right.
Example, you know, the likes of measles, and then you get food poisoning, you know, so you get different types of infections, or infectious diseases. The method of transmission that we need to obviously just enlighten people about, you get obviously direct contact and indirect contact.
Okay.
Direct, obviously, we're all familiar with, where that would be touching, would be kissing, sexual contact, exchanging of bodily fluids, how you would pick up HIV, how you pick up hepatitis, STDs, etc. Then the indirect would be obviously from surfaces, environmental areas, you know, where you would pick it up.
Okay.
That we look at the likes of influenza, which could be airborne transmission. It could be droplet transmission. You know, droplet transmission is where we're speaking, we are coughing, we are sneezing, and we release droplets into the air, carrying these pathogens.
Okay.
Which is one of the ways that COVID was so spread so rapidly. Then there's also airborne. So although airborne is tiny infectious particles that stay in the air, they remain suspended in the air, and we would then be able to handle it. This is the likes of tuberculosis and measles, etc.
Right. And COVID.
The next one would be Apologies, carry on.
I was wondering if COVID is one of those, because there was some talk that it's airborne, and there was some talk, no, it's not airborne.
Yes, definitely, definitely. It was definitely one of the airborne, it got to that stage, I should
Right,
say.
right, right.
The other one is vector-borne transmission. So vector meaning it's from animals, so or insects. So that's how you get Lyme disease, which is actually extremely prominent nowadays. I
Right.
find a lot of patients with Lyme disease, which is one of
Bird
the ugly
flu.
ones too. Bird flu, malaria,
Right.
etc.
They even suggested that COVID also was from bats.
Yes, I remember that.
All right.
I remember that.
So how have major communicable diseases shaped history? Well, pandemics like the COVID, HIV, the bubonic plague, all of those. How have they shaped history?
We must always think back. The nice thing about history is that we can learn from past experiences. COVID, for example, or the various other pandemics that we had were, over the years, it shaped us to be able to prepare for the onset of these type of diseases. We would think that our medical and healthcare environment would be well equipped to handle such outbreaks. And if you think back to COVID-19, our healthcare system was under immense strain. We were not prepared for the magnitude of infections and hospitalizations that we had. So how it affects us and how it shapes the future is that we now know there is always a possibility of another pandemic. We are aware of that now. The key is to identify this particular type of rapid spreading infection early, so that we can then obviously make provisions and our healthcare systems can be equipped for excessive amounts of hospitalizations.
Yeah. So let's talk about the spread, the factors. What factors contribute to the rapid spread of infectious diseases, Doc?
You'll find that some people would get the infection, but they weren't as sick as the next person that was hospitalized.
Okay.
So a major role would also be important that people are generally in good health.
Okay.
You'll find that there are people that are walking around with all sorts of comorbidities, hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, etc. Asthma, smoking can also cause all sorts of complications. So when certain diseases are able to be infected to people with those comorbidities, it will affect them much worse. So
Right.
how we like to, I also often inquire when I take a medical history, I always take a thorough history in terms of diet, lifestyle.
Right.
Are they exercising? How much water do they drink? How much coffee do they drink? So these are all the things that we should always take into consideration,
Right.
because these diseases are caused by these infectious agents. The communicable diseases are caused by these fungi and viruses that are spread. Common one is the influenza virus. It's hard to, as I said before, we cannot, you can go for the vaccination, but remember that they mutate. So you're never going to be able to have a
Prevention.
you're never going to get there unless it's something that it does not mutate, for
Right,
that
right,
matter.
right. And so finally,
Washing hands, vaccinations, hygiene, so important.
Or lack thereof.
Oh, absolutely, yes, absolutely. An unhealthy diet also posts and can cause people to get infected and have severe symptoms if you have not got a healthy diet. Remember that your gut health is extremely important. Your immune system is in the gut. So there was a Hippocrates. Do you know who Hippocrates was?
The philosopher?
Yes, Hippocrates was a father. He's known as the father of medicine.
The
And
one whom
he had.
you derive your Hippocratic oath from.
Yes, there we go. So he hypothesized that every single disease that the body develops begins in the gut. He didn't say some diseases. He said every single disease begins in the gut.
Right.
And so if you have got a healthy gut, how do you get a healthy gut? It's what you put into your
Yeah, that's
gut. It's
right.
how what you eat. So, it'll also affect your aging, it'll affect your genetics, it'll help with, and also it goes hand in hand with regular exercise,
Right.
avoiding toxic chemicals. So, back to communicable diseases and the transmission of them. How do we prevent it? How do we protect ourselves from these communicable diseases? We discussed yesterday the most important is good hygiene, hand washing, making sure that we are not surrounding ourselves with toxic substances like smoking. I know alcohol is something that is hard for people to avoid, but alcohol is not good for you.
At
We
all,
need to make sure.
or certain amounts.
You're asking the wrong person. For me, I'm going to say avoid alcohol, but I know it's not possible. So I cannot say to you, have a glass of wine a day. There are studies that have been done that said a glass of wine a day is harmless. So if you've got liver problems, you cannot have a glass of wine. You cannot have a half a glass of wine. It's important for us to also understand that you don't want to stop living. People can't stop living unless you have a specific condition that you cannot have the likes of alcohol or any form of sugar. Sugar is one of the biggest culprits at the moment.
Absolutely, yes.
I remember that there was also the one of the other pandemics, which was called the Black Death. I don't know if you are
Yes,
familiar with that.
yes, yes.
So we've learned from all these, and there's been so many. There's been a cholera pandemic. There's
Right.
been in the Spanish flu. So we've got the AIDS, which is in fact a pandemic.
Yes.
And like I say, how do we avoid getting infected,
Right.
contracting these viruses?
Right.
We have to practice good hygiene. We know what the prevention is. We know how AIDS and HIV is transmitted. We know how influenza is transmitted.
Right.
Are you, you know, We know that when somebody is sick, do we hug and kiss them? Do we, and it's hard because when you have children, you cannot not hold your child or kiss your child. But it's important to ensure that your immune system is strong.
Yeah.
How do we protect and keep our immune system strong?
Right.
We make sure we eat healthily. We make sure we do regular exercise. We make sure that we get enough vitamin D. There's so many substances that we can take, that we know are beneficial to the body. I
Right.
mentioned briefly about medical ozone. That's another way that you can protect and boost your immune system and keep your immune system at a high sort of
Level
level, keep it
of
strong.
function, yeah.
Ozone, medical ozone, in actual fact, there is no virus or bacteria that can survive exposure. So I often help people with that are sick that have influenza, be it COVID, and the patients that regularly have their treatments, they do not get sick.
Okay.
I have not seen them sick. So
Right.
that's another way of contributing to keeping your immune system strong.
Let's talk finally, Doc, about cooperation. because we tend to deal with things in silos as independent practitioners, and yet the idea of dealing with this national plague or national problem or pandemics is for us to cooperate one with the other. And not only as independent countries, but as countries in the sisterhood of countries, as we have now the United Nations and the World Health Organization. I want you to speak to just that. Why is global cooperation essential in controlling communicable diseases?
It is one of the most important factors in the control of these communicable diseases. We have to communicate and be on the same page,
right,
with other countries and what strategies they have in place for the possibility of an outbreak. I'm not sure, as I said before, if there is a possibility of an outbreak of a pandemic. I believe that the countries and the governmental organizations within those countries, we should cooperate with one another to limit the spread of the virus.
Absolutely.
By limiting travel, enforcing travel restrictions, ensuring that we're not allowing the virus to spread globally.
Absolutely.
Because once it becomes a global pandemic, the number of deaths, you know, especially we're lucky we can revert back to COVID all the time. We could have avoided a lot of deaths,
right,
if we had just retaken it. I was actually following that COVID virus before, I think it was already in the December or November, December period.
Right.
We only went into lockdown in March, and I was already posting and telling people, be careful, be careful. This is something that we need to be very careful about.
Right.
And I think from a healthcare perspective, we just need to be more alert in terms of what is that virus. So when you see that the country has got an epidemic of large proportion, I think it's important for people to look at that and say, what are the possibilities of that traveling? Because people do travel. We all travel. We know that it happens.
Right.
And if you travel on an airplane, I'm sure you do, you can hear how many people are sick.
Yeah.
You can hear, even on a local flight or international flight, you hear people coughing, sneezing.
Right.
And when I say coughing, you can hear somebody that's really not well.
Yeah.
And I actually asked a question to one of the air hostesses recently, where I was on a flight, and I said, why is it not regulation that if you know that person is sick, that person should wear a mask if they're traveling?
Right.
It's not about everybody else wearing a mask. That person should be wearing a mask.
Absolutely.
If you're not well, you don't want to spread the virus, surely. Then you should say, you know what, let me wear a mask. And airlines should make it regulation.
I totally agree.
If somebody is not well, the air hostess should be able to go to that passenger and say, I'm so sorry, sir, I know you're not feeling well. We can hear that you're not well. Would you mind, please? You have to wear a mask.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're in an enclosed area where the air is simply circulating for X amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about airborne viruses. We're talking about, you know, where you can breathe it in.
Hmm.
It lingers in the air. I believe from a worldwide, let alone the neighboring countries, it's worldwide where we should have a system in place that that we can limit. If there is, let's say it's Egypt, for example, that has got an outbreak, we should be able to say, hold on, even though we're in South Africa, what are the chances of Egypt's virus traveling to South Africa? We all know that it's highly possible. It's simply a flight.
Yeah.
Somebody that's got a virus would fly from Egypt and land in South Africa, and
boom, we have
thing.
It.
Exactly. And remember, in the aircraft, it's a confined space.
Mm-hmm.
So the likelihood of 10 people, maybe more, contracting the virus is very highly
absolutely
possible.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, so yeah.
All right, doctor, thank you very much for allowing us this opportunity to do this introductory conversation because we should have done this on Monday, like I said, and I skipped it, and I do apologize for it, but thank you very much for affording us this opportunity. Let's see you tomorrow
It's a
as we
pleasure.
continue our conversation. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you, and you too. Thanks
Thank
for having me.
you very much, doctor.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.